Hallelujah. What a Savior. James, thank you for bringing us out to see him in such a way. Here we are at a Good Friday service. Thinking again about the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We've been here before. What does the death of Jesus mean? What actually happened? What are the implications for what happened? Nobody really got the implications of the death of Jesus Christ until afterwards. Looking back, they could see it with also great clarity. In the moment, it was confusing and they were disoriented. And Jesus told them, the Spirit of God is going to come and he is going to bring to your remembrance things that you have seen and heard. And looking back, they could see things that in the moment they missed. There are several incidents in the narrative surrounding Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension that if you're not careful, you will miss. And certainly it was missed in the moment, but later recognized. I want you to come with me to Mark 15. Tonight, verses 6 through 15. Nobody was thinking about Barabbas. When Jesus died. And yet looking back, Barabbas has something to say to us. When Caiaphas, the high priest at the time, said in a quip in a meeting with the Jewish leadership, "Oh, it's okay. It will be better that one man die for the nation than that the whole nation dies." Unwittingly, he was pointing out the very nature of Jesus' death. We couldn't see it in the moment. We could see it after the fact. Barabbas can help us understand what happened. Here's Mark's record. Mark 15, 6 through 15. It is in a narrative talking about Pilate. So the he is going to be Pilate. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they ask. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with a man you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him! And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him! So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him up to be crucified. Hear the word of the Lord. Now tonight I want to go two directions as we head toward the table of our Lord and this time of communing with our Savior. I want to first look at the setting of this historic account from Mark's narrative. Secondly, I want to look at the central characters in this transaction. Barabbas, how he is presented, and Jesus Christ, and how he is presented. First, the setting. During the feast days, it was Pilate's habit, the Roman overseer, to come to Jerusalem. A bit of a politician's gesture to be in the city that was swelling with all the people who would come. He was coming not knowing that there was such a feverish ferment that Jesus would be arrested. There would first be a Jewish trial before Caiaphas, then sent to Pilate, attempting to pass the buck. He sends him to Herod, who puts a robe on him and sends him back. And he's trying to figure out what to do, not desiring to be in the position that he is in. The Jewish leaders are there. They're described in verse 10. The chief priests, they're there leading the charge to end Jesus' ministry. Then there's the crowd. It was characteristic for the crowd to gather and let Pilate know in this political magnanimous gesture that would endear him to the people. I'll let one. Who do you want me to let out of jail? They would get together and they would yell out names. You know, Uncle Harry, let him out. You know, no, Uncle Bob, no, Susie. And they would lobby with voices in this kind of lottery for who was going to be released and set free. So the crowd is there and they're used, they're accustomed to this habit. It's the Passover. That's when he did it. And then there is Jesus Christ. He's been in tribunals the whole night. Pilate, everybody has a motive and everybody has an agenda. Pilate is trying to retain his favor with the people. Yes, get them to be submissive to Roman rule, and he had a crushing military apparatus right there as an occupying force. It wasn't too difficult. But he wanted to be careful about levying that authority. And then how do you handle these Jewish people with all their religious customs? In a moment of incredible insight, he sees right through the motives of the high priest. And Mark records, he answered to them, verse 9, do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? And he's using this title that they've given Jesus. Of course, the Jews did not own him as their king, but he's using it to chide them a bit, to prod them. And his insight shows up in verse 10. For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. Everybody in the story is working an agenda, including Jesus, who has set his face to accomplish the will of God and is headed willingly to the cross. It's quite a story. It's quite a moment. We are not told which insurrection this involved, but it was one of substance enough that Barabbas murdered someone and was imprisoned for it. Now, there were the zealots who wanted themselves to overthrow Roman rule and thought they could do it on their good days. The Jewish religious leadership was smart enough to know that insurrections aren't helping us. They're going to make it worse. So they were always trying to suppress the radicals, but push the envelope for as much freedom as they could get. And so it would not be necessarily welcome to them that the biggest rabble-rouser that they could find in prison was going to be let out, Barabbas, the guilty of the guilty. And Pilate brings the choice to the people. And they say, you let out Barabbas. And then he asks, and there's a long tradition in actually the Colosseum and in gladiator events where the ruler, at the end of a contest, would ask what is to be done with a combatant. Shall he be killed? What are we to do with the gladiator? And so then there's this antiphonal. What shall be done to the gladiator? And it was either kill him or spare him. So there's this tradition of going back and forth with the leader. And in that very vein, Pilate steps up and says, why then, what are we going to do with Jesus? The crowd prompted was certainly ready and joined the Jewish leadership in calling for his crucifixion. Verse 13, they cried out, crucify him. They had made this cry before. They cried out again. So that's the situation in which Barabbas is released. Barabbas is one of the sub-stories around the cross that bring vivid color to the meaning of the gospel. Let me explain. So secondly, the central characters in this transaction are number one, Barabbas, and number two, Jesus. Now, how is Barabbas presented? According to verse 7, indeed, he's presented as a murderer. According to verse 7, he's presented as an insurrectionist trying to overthrow Roman occupation. John notes in John 19:40, just to round out the rap sheet, that he's a robber. In fact, in this insurrection and in this crowd may well have been the two other men who were crucified with Jesus Christ. They may have been a part of the Barabbas clan that pulled off whatever they tried to pull off. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 16, Matthew notes and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So the adjectives continue to grow as you noodle around this account of who this guy is. He's a rebel. He's a lawbreaker. He's a rebel rouser. He's lawless. He's guilty. The rap sheet is pretty long. That's Barabbas. Then there's Jesus in this transaction. Through the trial and the narrative of the trial by the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through the trial and the crucifixion narrative, the writers of the Gospels time and again come back to the fact that Jesus is innocent and he's without fault. It's difficult to have a stronger contrast than those two. If you look at verse 14, Pilate himself asked, Pilate said to them, crucify him. Why? Why crucify him? What evil has he done? Now, the inference to draw from his rhetorical question is, he has done no evil. Why are you demanding crucifixion? In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19, Pilate's wife has a dream and is very troubled about this judgment that is before Pilate, and she goes to him and she says this, besides, here's Matthew's account, Matthew 27, 19. Besides, while he, that's Pilate, was sitting on the judgment scene, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. It's a fascinating aside. But around the edges, there's this voice, then this voice, then this voice. This is a righteous man. The thief on the cross, during the event of the cross, looks at the other thief who is dying beside Christ on the other side, hurling insults at him, and says in Luke 23:41, yet another declaration of the innocence of Jesus. I read the whole account. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. What's Pilate's verdict? He says in John 18, 38, I find no guilt in him. The universal testimony from those in and around Jesus is that Jesus is one without fault. To put it in Old Testament language, a spotless lamb apart from sin. Now, if that's the setting and the central characters, let's think about this. Finally, we are Barabbas. We are Barabbas. It's amazing. The two verbs that really capture the heart of the cross that are here. Mark 15:15. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, verb number one, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, verb number two, he delivered him up to be crucified. You say, Eric, I don't get the cross. You drag people out on a beautiful, for the first beautiful spring day on Friday night for a good Friday service. What's all of this about? It's about that. It is about guilty Barabbases who find release. Because an innocent, sinless lamb was delivered up. That's the cross. And it's not until we see ourselves as insurrectionists against God. It's not until we see our murderous hearts for as they really are, who've robbed God of his glory. Yes, we're robbers. We're insurrectionists against the kingdom of God, wanting to live our own way, going our own way. And God in Christ has pursued us to come to him. And because of the cross, where Jesus Christ, the innocent one, was delivered up, the Barabbases of the world who look to Jesus Christ, they are released. That word released is a word for pardoned. They get amnesty. They are set free. There is no freedom. None. Like the freedom that comes when guilty insurrectionists, and that's all of us, look unto Jesus Christ our Lord and find forgiveness and release through his death for us. Or to say it with Charles Wesley, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me, who him to death pursued. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Praise be to God for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that let guilty Barabbases like me and you out of prison and delivered up to pardon and release. Father in heaven, how could it be that by your grace we would find your pursuit of us? Did not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all. Amazing love. How can it be thou, my God, would die for me? Thank you. We love you. We worship you. Praise be to God for the Lamb. Amen.